Hey there, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 1 of the Better With Running podcast. My co-host Zach and I are feeling refreshed and excited to be back joining you for your run, your car drive, your dog walk, etc. So Zacha, welcome back, mate.
Thanks, Matty. Yes, it's been a little bit of time between mic sessions. I know we've actually caught up in real life a bit more in the past few months, but it's actually been great to be back on, mate, and really excited. Big show we've got lined up, and we've got the great man Miles Goff back on the airwaves, the founder of Run Creature. He's going to jump on and give us a bit of an update on where things are at with Run Creature. I know he's been pumping out some articles, and then also his own running results. So I don't know if you've been following it as well, Matty, but he's been flying at the moment, and on target for that sub 220 marathon crack. So that'll be exciting to hear where he's at. But Matty, firstly, last time we actually recorded, we were out for a long run together, I think. And we're out sort of in your neck of the woods out in Devil Bend just before Christmas, recapping my victory over you at Launceston 10K. I was pretty up and about. And after that though, mate, things didn't go so well for you. You've been battling a few things.
Yeah, that's all right. That run, it was a good run. Apart from recapping the Launceston 10, and it was a little bit of a it was a, for me, it was a bit, I was a little bit disappointed. But then just after that run, I just found I couldn't recover at all, and I was really starting to think, oh, is there something going on here? And turns out that I can't remember if it was the next day or the day later, and I was really fatigued, and I got up in the morning and went to grab a drink or something, and then started to feel a bit faint, and I knew I was gonna pass out, and made a quick rush for the to lay down on the bed, and missed the bed and hit the deck. Gemma was there, and she's like, "You're all right?" And I was like, no, I don't think I can get up. And then anyway, so she ended up calling the ambulance, and the ambulance came to check me out, and they said like really low blood pressure, and probably got some sort of viral infection, but I wasn't showing the symptoms, I guess, of COVID. Mm-hmm. But they suggested either head to the hospital for a bit, or if you've got a doctor that you can go see that you trust, then see if you can get in to see them. And eventually they set me free. They said, maybe after 20 minutes, half an hour, started feeling a little bit better. And they sort of hung around there to continue checking my blood pressure. And that seemed to settle. It wasn't fantastic, but it settled enough that they were happy with where things were at. And I ended up going to booking in to see the doctor. But because I hadn't had a COVID test and I had a bit of a temperature, they decided that it wasn't safe to go into the practice. So I just had a chat over the phone, and they said that this looks like it'd have to be 5 days or so, and I should be feeling a bit better, and that I'd have to go get the COVID test. So obviously went and got the COVID test, and that was all clear. But from there, it was just such bad fatigue, and like I could notice my heart rate was really high, and getting up to walk across and get a drink was a huge effort. And it was strange, the symptoms, as it felt like the flu, but I didn't have a sore throat, but I just felt rubbish, had a bit of a headache, and just like my body had kind of just shut down for a bit there. I was struggling for a good 2 or 3 weeks with that. And I had also this weird, it was like I felt sunburnt across my back, and I kept asking Gemma to check if there was a rash across my back, but there was nothing. And it was just this weird skin sensation that I had. And same with if I was go to wash my hands or something. And well, as soon as the cold water hit my hands, it was a really intense sort of sensation that would send across. Like I was really, my perception of things was really alert on my skin. And I think that's also, yeah, a sign of some sort of viral infection. Yeah, and in the end, I was like, it lasted for 2-3 weeks, and then I thought, I've got to go to the doctors. So, yeah, I ended up getting a check of my iron levels and see if they could find it out sort of what sort of virus it might have been. And so I got tested for quite a few. And, yeah, it turns out, like, my iron levels are normally around, like, I've had it between 12 and, like, the ferritin levels, which are 12 and about 50 or 60. And yeah, the last test, which was the year before, it was at 29. And this time it was, and normal range is meant to be between 30 and 300. And it was, yeah, like 215. So like a heap more than what I would normally be at. And that's, yeah, also a sign of a viral infection, because your body tries to hold back the iron to prevent the pathogens from using it to enhance themselves. So ended up being a tough few weeks there just being sick and fatigued, and it was on holidays and couldn't really do much because I just want to lay down and sleep and rest. And
run into the end of the year, and so you had a pretty busy super busy year, and school and everything culminating also hit you at once.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I think that was probably part of it. And then also, like, you know, when you get into that sort of trying to peak for a race, you're also like on the limit there at that point. And so your immune system probably isn't as strong as what it would normally be. Mm. So I think I was just that bit off fatigue and trying to fight it and just couldn't. And as soon as it struck, it really struck hard. So, and then we ended up going away to Bermagui up on the New South Wales coast there. And that was a really good trip. Like, we left on Boxing Day, and I was really looking forward to getting away and spending some time on the beach. Then the announcement came through on New Year's Eve. We got it at about 4 o'clock. That we had to get back over the border, or we'd have to go into 2 weeks self quarantine. It was a mad dash. To get everything packed up and ready to make the quick trip, or quick 4-hour
wasn't
trip.
That quick, was it?
No, it wasn't that quick. No, there was a lot of traffic across the border. And from Bermagui, there's a couple of ways you can go to get across the border. The quickest way is through Eden. Down the coast, past through Marimbula, Pambula, and across the border. Around Eden area. And we'd heard that the lines of the traffic there was about 6 hours long. So we decided to take the Snowy Mountain Highway up towards Canberra and then shoot down the Monaro Highway. And that was crazy, because as soon as we left, it was about nearly 7:30 by the time we left Bermagui. And it was meant to be, we didn't hit the border till 11 at night, so we had an hour to spare. That trip across there, we're going 30 k's an hour up these steep hills with a camper trailer on the back. And it was foggy, and it was one point where I was just guided by the lights on the reflective lights on the road, and because it was just so foggy and raining, could have barely seen, you know, like 10 meters ahead of you. There was one point where they'd redone the road and they hadn't put those reflector lights down. So couldn't see anything. And I had Gemma on Google Maps following the blue dot and telling me which way the next corner was going to go around, and felt like a bit like rally driving, I guess, around there.
That is the extreme,
It was. And then, because it's like we'd been up early at that day and hadn't realized, you know, that everything was going to shut down. So we were really tired. I think Gemma had a massive glass of wine. I'd only had one beer, so I was all right. But it was, it's just the adrenaline pumping.
It was crazy. That all unfolded so quickly.
That's right. It's so quickly all of a sudden. And there was heaps of people on the road, sleeping, camping, like along around Cam River. Remember driving along, just caravans all lined up beside, having a bit of a kipper. So, but yeah, anyways, so we got back and got back safely, had the COVID test and all that was clear, but had to wait 4 days or whatever it was to actually get the result back. And but then that, I think that didn't help the recovery either, because that was just so you had to be on such a high alert for a long time, and they end up getting that sleep deprivation, and so the recovery was
doesn't out for sure. Were you able to get back into, were you sort of starting to turn the corner in January?
So I reckon it wasn't until, well, I actually tried when I got back, did a couple of runs on the treadmill whilst we had to wait for our COVID test to come back, and then eventually, had a go of a bit of a pickup run, and I finished it, and I was just absolutely cooked. And then I just felt I couldn't recover for the next almost 5 days, I reckon. And I just knew that that point I wasn't ready to go. And that's like, it's such a hard thing to know when you can, if you've been sick, like when do you know, at what stage do you know that you can progress? And so, I was at that point, I was like, nah, there's no way I can progress. So I spent sort of 3 weeks at about 50 to 60 Ks. And, like before Launceston, I was, I think, getting up to, 140, 130, 140 K. So, it's quite a drop off. And then, so I decided not to session for 3 weeks. And first of all, I had a full week off and not session for a few weeks. And then gradually build up from there. And I remember the first session I felt, then a couple of weeks later, I tried another session, just 4 by 5 minutes at sort of like around tempo pace. And I think that was sort of like 3:40s down to 3:20s. And that the next day I was like, I've actually kind of recovered okay and enough to go for another light jog. So at that point I knew that I was able to progress, but before that was no chance. And then, just stuck to sort of a few light sessions a week. So then just easy, like 200s just for a bit of rhythm running, and then some tempo runs. And I got out and paced one of my athletes, Clay, at park run a few weeks later, and he ran 16:28 for 5K PB. And sometimes I don't know, sometimes when you pace, and I talked with this with Clay after the run, that when you're pacing someone, you kind of takes, you got a bit of pressure to try to hold the pace, but it's also takes the thought away from you, and you're helping someone else out, and you actually feel really good. So I felt great that day.
I find that that's a good way to sort of get yourself back into sessions or racing when you do have a gig where you do pace someone, or you maybe jump in a session and your role is to help someone, and it takes the focus off yourself. And I think that sounds like even though, those 3 weeks you had, 3 or 4 weeks where you're just sort of ticking over Ks, your body just started to bounce back. And then you realize that, there's a lot of strength and training in the legs, that once you do get through a few of those early sessions, you can find the form again. And, to come back and start, hitting 3 by 7 minutes and doing sessions like that, it just starts to bring you forward again.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I found, that there was that strength there, because I wasn't injured, it was just illness. So I think if you can actually respect that illness and respect that it is going to take a little bit of recovery, it's not like you're coming back from a tendon injury or a bone injury where you're going to have to really really sort of manage that and make sure that things aren't still sore. If you respect the illness and the recovery it can take from it, then you can actually build up reasonably quick. I went from like those few weeks at 50 or 60 Ks back up to nearly 90, then just over 100 and 120, and then last week 140. So, and I felt like I was pretty tired today off that back of that 140, but I felt like I was still able to get through the run fine and feel like I'll be able to hold that sort of mileage hopefully for a little bit for the next few weeks. And then because I've had that illness a couple of times and sort of fatigue a couple of times, I've thought about, I don't often have down weeks in my training, and I don't know about you, Zaka, but I feel like that's something that I need to implement a bit more. in my training, because like in the past, I've just sort of tried to build week after week after week. And then I feel like I hit sort of a sweet spot and hold it there. But yeah, I think every, so go 3 weeks on and 1 week, just a down week, just where you keep the same frequency, have the same amount of sessions, just reduce the long run a bit and reduce the intensity of the sessions just to help absorb. And yeah, keep that immune system strong, because I find that, yeah, that's something that has let me down in the past.
Yeah, I quite like having that absorption week in there every sort of 4 or 5 weeks. I know with some of my athletes, we do the same thing, but even for myself, like I can be up for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then I might even just use it even as half the week. So, you know, if I'm sessioning Tuesday, Saturday, I might have an absorption week where I actually don't session on the Tuesday, and then I might do a shorter session on the Thursday and then back into it on Saturday. So you kind of just roll with at least half that week is you're just back to just the basics of building some Ks and just recovering. The other thing is I'm also not afraid to start to have a day off there and, you know, take a complete day off where you just let the legs and the body and the mind settle for a day on a Friday and just, completely reset. When you're just starting to get on the edge. But it is hard, because when you're in a training block and you've keep building, you keep putting the pressure on, you just some days as runners we're so stubborn, we just we still want to go out there and get something done, and it's a challenge to sometimes a challenge to rest.
Yeah, it's almost harder to rest than it is to actually go out and do the run.
Yeah, that's it. But and you're starting to build the long runs up again slowly as well.
Yeah. So started out sort of at those 50, 60K weeks. It was, wasn't really trying to put out a long run, but then eventually got up to 60 minutes. And I remember finishing the next one at 70 the week later, and I was knackered after 70 minutes. Like, how am I going to get back out to 2 hours? But yeah, it's amazing how if you give the body, that recovery and nutrition, it can bounce back. And so, got out for 90 the next week, and then 100, and then 2 hours just yesterday on the Sunday. So that was the hardest point of that I felt was just there was more the muscle, the fatigue from the muscles and the soreness from that, rather than the actual aerobically felt strong enough for the 2 hours. Yeah, it's just those muscle fibers breaking down and just getting stronger again. But yeah, I reckon I'll be better for it. And hopefully, can bounce off the 2 hours this week and get out again next week. Yeah. And what about yourself, mate? You've, you had a good period there of recovery over the Christmas New Year period. And started to build back up.
For sure. Me and my partner, Sean, we were meant to go up to New South Wales. We're going to go on a bit of a road trip up to Newcastle and beyond, and up to Coffs Harbour and all the rest of it. But we had to sort of can that once the restrictions and the border closures came in. So our little Christmas holiday, was going to be after Christmas, got canned. So we ended up staying here and just had some downtime here and, staying, catching up with friends and family. And I ran... I still kept ticking over, but I backed off on the sessions. I just needed a bit of just want to take the pressure off, like getting out the door at certain times. And I just so I enjoyed that kind of reset. And once I think it was Jan 2nd, Jan 3rd hit, started to get started to switch back on and start to put sessions back in. And fortunately had a few other training partners that were still in Melbourne that we were able to get going again. And I just sort of went back to probably where I was 2 months out from Lonnie, and doing some progression runs, doing some tempos. And I know coming off that run, I was really happy with where the fitness was. So it's just now a case of building again and start to sort of hit that 100K regularly, which was it's really good fun to just to hit that mileage and get used to, back out, doing the long runs consistently and starting to get some sessions going again. So it's been a good little training block. And then to and chatting to you in the last few weeks, we were sort of let's pencil something in again and go for round two. And we decided on the in the Soul Motive Sandy Point 10K. It's going to happen hopefully end of the month. So it's I guess for those that are unaware that we're in a little bit back to a lockdown, a mini lockdown at the moment here in Melbourne, where we're both based. And we're still not sure what's going to happen for the next few weeks, but fingers crossed we can actually get that race going.
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully things settle down. Obviously we'll get that news probably today or tomorrow, I'm guessing, on the Monday or Tuesday, what will potentially happen. Talk about that race. One of the sessions that you hit really well and got me quite worried was the 4K, 3K, 2K session you did, I think it was last week sometime, of 2 minutes recovery. Can you talk us through that one?
Yeah, I really want to get, I mean, obviously with the with eyes, I guess, ahead of the 10K, heading towards a or a half or a full, just wanted to get really dialed in on those sort of longer sessions and getting out there on, I did this along the Yarra River on the trail there. And yeah, at that sort of 4K, I was hoping to sort of go out at marathon pace and then push down the 3K and the 2K. So work through, even half down to 5K pace in the 2K. So just, or 10K pace. So yeah, I guess the goal with that session is it's long road, hard road work, and just, I think average 3:24s overall. It's a short recovery, and just getting used to that time on your feet where you're going at a pretty good clip. I was really happy with it. It came out really good, and just more the same. Like I've started to get back out doing the longer tempos. Like I did a 30-minute tempo the other week, and just. We'll incorporate a few different things now and start to get that long run out and do a lot more on the road leading into these races and what's beyond. And also get down and do some more hill work with you, Matty, which I know a few of our few people sent us a message when they saw we were doing a session together down in God's country on the hills, and wanted to know who got the chocolate. So it was that was great fun to catch up and do a session together.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, when you sent that message through and you're like, wondering what the session was going to do on the Saturday and see if we could tee up something together, and sent through, that 3x3 minutes, 3x1 minute, 3x30 second hill reps, and you were all for it. So obviously came down and we got the GoPro out there as well. It took a few shots. So that was good, and set that up on the side. That was a great session. And I think that it's a good strength building session. It was the first time I've sort of done hill reps for a little while. And I think we paced it quite well and we got quicker over the aim is to get sort of around 10K pay and 10K effort for the 3 minutes and then 5K effort for the minutes and then sort of a bit quicker, trying to get a bit quicker, like 3K effort for the 30 seconds. And we managed to achieve that. And I mean, the hill that we did it on, as one of your athletes, I think, commented that it's not even a hill. Now, it is a hill, but it's nothing like Anderson Street. Yeah. It's not that easy to find a hill where it's a good gradient for 3 minutes long. So, we were covering 800, 900 meters. I think 900 meters actually. Yeah, it's not always that easy to find a hill that's going to be that long. But, I felt like that was a good session, good strength building session. And it also incorporates those 30 seconds of that sort of supplements for the speed work as well. And I think you did as well. I know the next day I felt great on the Sunday long run. And I think that the next week, I think that might've been the 4K, 3K, 2K session you did. And you bounced off that really well. Yeah.
I think you do get the bang for your buck for a session like that, because you do, that's sharp at the start and then it evens out, but it's still a bit of a slow grinder. And we just kept working through in those 3 minutes. And I think I did the first one and I thought, oh, there's not much to this to you. I was like, oh, it should be an easy session. But by the end, we were really working hard and doing the 30 seconds. And I've done a lot of work along the Yarra Boulevard and along some roads, some flat sections. And I think this is a really good test for me. And I sort of said to you after, you know, I've got to really engage the core and get back onto doing that. Those 1%ers, because you do feel it in those, in those hill reps. But
you do get back up with the sort of strength and holding your form whilst under pressure over those hills. It really, you really do get found out if you're if you're not strong enough for it.
Yeah, and it was a big session too in terms of volume. It was out there for 33 minutes by the time you 34 minutes by the time you've done the slow jog back down. After 3 minutes, it's a good session in terms of just keeping moving the whole time as well.
Yeah. And that time actually went really quick. I was surprised that when you said, when we finished it, you're like, that was 33, 34 minutes of work. And we're only out there for 20.
We're looking forward to doing a few more of those with you, Matty. And as we build up, any thoughts? The Gold Coast Marathon open today. And I know we've both been, are we going to put it on the line and we're going to actually commit and sign up today, or what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm happy to have a crack on it. Now that it's starting that hour earlier, we've talked about before, and I know a lot of people have discussed that it sort of sold them as to doing that race. But yeah, I'm happy to sign up. What about yourself?
Yeah, let's do it. I reckon. I've been ducking and weaving his marathon for a little while. I think now I'm in a good spot to reload and have another crack at it. You're bang on with the change of time making a big difference, and the opportunity to go up to Gold Coast. It's a great weekend, and a lot of Run to PB athletes are signing up today, it's going to be a big weekend. So yeah, I think I'm excited to do the build, like I was saying, got that 10K under the belt and the body's in a good spot. So yeah, why not have a build and have a crack at it?
Roll the dice. Sweet,
Snatty. there's plenty of time. We're both probably in the same similar positions in terms of not having to do anything marathon specific at the moment. I know for me it'll be that 12-week specific block, I would say more so, but definitely the next 6 weeks, just keep doing what we're doing.
Yep, absolutely. Awesome. And I've got a few exciting things that we've had in the pipeworks for a little bit. And we've got a couple of announcements to make. And the first one's about a junior development update. So we had the idea floating around about supporting a couple of junior athletes. And then we launched the support program back in November 2020, and we had about 40 or over, just over 40 young aspiring runners who applied for the support program. We felt like it was something that we were all passionate about. And as coaches, we really wanted to give back to the sport and help junior runners across all of Australia. And this collective of the coaches, so it includes Olympians, national and state representatives from a variety of distances, from 1500 through to the ultra marathons. And they've all been, all the coaches there have been on the journey as that sort of young, inspiring runners, and understand that get the best out of their running. You do need that support, that strong support system. We, along with our kind partners, are very excited to build and continue that support. And so, Zacha, who have we got as our recipients?
Yeah, so I know we did announce this on our socials and on the blog, but we just thought we'd touch on it today and just acknowledge the recipients, it was, like you mentioned, 40 plus young athletes applied. It was a really tough to narrow it down, and we obviously we're keen to support who we can, and we definitely keep all those athletes that applied in touch with us, and as we go forward and build on this development program, sort of have other opportunities down the track. But yeah, we were absolutely delighted to announce a couple of the two that we went with in the end, which were Cameron Donald and Kira Flava. So yeah, it was like I said, very, very tough to narrow it down. But we just I'll just touch on Cameron firstly. He's based out in Lara in Victoria, and he's a member of the Lara Runners Club. He's 17 years old. He's represented his school in the GISSA Sporting Association in 1500 and cross country in the 4K. And yeah, obviously last year with the coronavirus restrictions, it was a tough year. Lack of racing opportunities, but what we gather from his application and the supporting sort of documents around how he just continued to train and work on building his base. And I think he did get a chance to do a virtual run, the Great Australian Cross Country Challenge. He came third in the Australian Year 10s in the finals. But the thing is, Cameron, he's also out there in the community, obviously with the Lara Running Club, but at park runs and Run for Geelong and the River Run. I know the River Run we were at a couple of years back now, Maddie. And yeah, so, you know, his PB is 1500, 547, 5K, 1930 and 10K 40. But, really excited to help Cameron on his journey. And it's going to be great to, with the support we can give him, it's going to be really, really great to see how he goes with his running over the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on the female side, we had Kiara Flavelle. So she's based out in Emerald in Victoria, 15 years old and a member of the Yarra Rangers Athletics Club. And yeah, she is coached by Brendan Dixon out there. And she's been in the sport for quite some time, competing in full athletics and has represented Victoria Nationals in both across country and track and field. She's got an impressive list of performances, including one of her 400s when she was under 11. She broke the national record and ran 59.9 seconds. So I don't know about you, Zach, but I reckon I'd struggle to run a sub 60 at the moment.
It is moving. Yeah, it's great running.
And Kiara continues to move through the junior ranks. And we see her name popping up a lot at the Victorian Milers meets, and was recently awarded performance of the meet for her run in the 1500 meter B race. And she ran 4:35 in that race and won that heat of the VNC B race. That I believe is a 1500 PB. And now her other PBs include a 400 of 57.7, 800 at the Vic Milers, the most recent one where they also had the mile race going, the Victorian mile races going on, championships going on. She ran the 800 there in the A race and finished second in a time of 2:12.03. A very impressive list of PBs there. Her major goal is to aim to achieve Australian junior qualifying times for both the 800 and the 1500. So congratulations both to Cameron and Kiara. And so they'll be supported by Run to PB, and it's our partners aligned with that.
Yeah, it's great that our partners also, when we shared this vision and what we wanted to do with the juniors, and they were more than happy to throw their support. So obviously we're chipping in with some financial support from Run to PB, just to assist with like competition, training camp related costs. Like, you know what it's like, Maddie, when you're going through the ranks and you're trying to get to, up to Falls Creek maybe for a training camp. And if there's something that can help you along the way financially, then we're hoping this can sort of help that out. The running company, Yarraville, Brad Fuller and Renee, always fantastic with their support. And obviously Sammy McLean, the shoe dog from Run to PB, one of our coaches who's down there in the store as well. And they were more than happy to throw the support, and they're going to actually fit these two guys, fit both of these athletes out with shoes, and then they're going to also do their gait analysis, discussion on the shoe rotation, and obviously working in line with their coaches, and really want to be giving these two runners that opportunity. Also, Sophie Fitt, a Run to BB coach, is also the podiatrist at Fitzroy Foot and Ankle Clinic. She's going to help them out with a full podiatric and biomechanical assessment of their lower limb and feet to analyze their foot posture and running mechanics, which is super important when you're a growing, young athlete going through body changes and things like that. So it's a great sort of great timing for that. What else we got in there, Maddie? The mentorship.
Yeah, so basically a direct line with access to any of our coaches to assist with any questions about their running. Having their sort of full support and guidance from, as I said, like from Olympian to state, national finalists. And then also we've got On Running. So they've jumped on board and they're going to fit the guys out with some high quality performance apparel, like a training and racing kit, to represent at events and also, to wear at their training sessions.
Yeah, that was actually, obviously thanks to On Running and Luke Bell, past guest, who jumped at the chance to help out some of these young athletes. He's over at On Running as the marketing specialist there. And he was through all his support and has been kindly assisted us with some really awesome apparel, which we'll get out to the two recipients, which will be really exciting for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And now moving on to, around the track, Zaka. We've had some amazing results come through over, since we've last jumped online and had a chat. And we just thought we'd touch on a few that we've chosen. And, because we asked our coaches at Run to PB to message through any that they thought would really impress them, not so much, about the performance, but, just some amazing runs just in general that the coaches have been impressed with.
Yeah, there's been a lot going on in the last few months, so we probably had to narrow it down to a few. And I think we'll just quickly run through a few of the performances and a couple of coaches that sent these through. So Josh Harris, he mentioned that Nick Stokey, who cracked 40 minutes for the 10K at the Dolphin Run 10K. Absolutely blind of a run because he sent through the splits and he just come home, sat in there perfectly, got a good start and held so consistent and then finished it last K in a 3:55 and always good when you can bring it home like that.
Oh, absolutely. And then Chris Armstrong sent one through with Taryn Kirby, who ran a 3K time trial and smashed a new PB. Her aim was 15:55, her OB was 16:02 and she hit 15:48. So knocked off a good bit of time there on her 3K and finished really strong and Chris was pumped about that one.
A lot of time trials still going down with we've got Park Run back. Well, it's on a bit of a pause at the moment in Melbourne, but most of the country it is, and so a few other time trials kicking around. And even on the weekend, Sammy McLean, the Shoe Dog, who he's coaching Sammy Murhi. He had a time trial on the track and managed to run a big PB, running 16:13 for the 5K. So big run from Sammy. I know he's only a couple of months in working with Sammy. So the two Sammys going well there. That's a great result. And another one that Sammy mentioned is from one of his athletes, Beck, who she's actually did some of the triathlon series, the sprint triathlon that was actually planned for the weekend, but got cancelled due to Melbourne's lockdown. So Sammy came up with a bit of an idea to put together their own little sprint duathlon and absolutely smashed it, managed to run a 5-second 5K PB in the leg of the try, which is you know, to come off the bike and do that, that was the fastest 5K ever. So, yeah, amazing run that one.
Yeah, that's very impressive, isn't it, to knock that out off the bike. And then we have Brady come through with some of his athletes. So Sam Jones at the New South Wales 5K champs, he knocked out a PB in 15:43. So, yeah, that's super running. And to knock that out at on the track in the champs is a great result. He also had Dane Otterson. I think we've mentioned Dane a few times before with some amazing results. And he's just smashed his 5K time trial with 15:24, Zacha.
Yeah, Dane. Dane's been another amazing story about someone who's teamed up with Runs PB and a coach and got some guidance. I know we actually shared a post on our social a little while ago when he actually signed up. His goal was he said potentially it'd be a sub 16 one day. And you know, he's also, which was, we were sort of all Brady and I were having a bit of it was just a good to go back and look at this. And he'd also said he'd like to set himself up for like a 35 minute 10K. He's now run 33 minutes for 10K. So, yeah, amazing stuff. Might have actually gone under that. I think he's gone under 33. But, yeah, he's absolutely smashed his goals and, keeps on getting better every week. So that's a huge run from him.
It is. And then Brady also had Elliot Wilcox. And I reckon I recognise this location where he's done this 5K time trial, Zach. I think you might have actually done yours there too. And he's reckons he's got his pre-race nutrition nutted out with some pizza, beers and wine. And, yeah, he's knocked out an 18:42. So massive off that nutrition plan.
Yeah, Elliot, we are in the similar neck of the woods, so we've got to catch up. I know it's I did mention to him late last year, but that we were going to catch up for a run and we're going to have to tee that up again. It's just running out of time at the moment. But massive run there on the boulevard. Sophie Fitt had back in January, the Portsea Twilight. Emma Wagstaff ran 43:13. That Twilight is it's a hilly course. Maddie, you've done a few of those down there, and it's a great run there. And she had Ainsley, also another one at the in the Sydney in the 5K that was recently there, ran 19:50. Big week. She managed to go out there. It was about 10 seconds off at PB. So, great running from Ainsley.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Soph also had Summer Mary, who ran the Gold Rush Trail Run back in December and placed 12th female in that race, and also came third in her age group, so a great run there from Summer.
Cool. And Jack Davies has had Chris Timewell. He's been busy. He's a 1500 at the Victorian Country Champs in Ballarat, had a PB there, ran 5:20. Then he jumped in Bendigo and it was very close to a PB, running 12:16 for his 3K. Over in the UK, Freddie Rooks, who we've mentioned on the show a couple of times now, obviously challenging times over in the UK with races, but he managed to get into a 5 mile, I think it was a time trial. Not sure if it was an actual race. But yeah, 8K around 27:51 for a PB. And another one hitting the track. So we're getting a few athletes who have been in summer getting on the track and trying their hand at a few different races. Vic Myler, Felix Esperson, in 1500, ran 4:51 for a PB. Great results. Some of Jack's athletes.
Yep. And then one of Steph's, Harry McGill, mate, 14:34 and ninth at New South Wales Champs. Like, that's a huge run from Harry. Massive run. That might be one of the, might have broken the record for run to PB 5K.
Yeah.
Athletes, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, smashed that one. And Steph was very stoked with Harry's run. And then Gemma also had a few of her athletes go around with Gary Murphy, who ran a 41:38 at the Zatopek B race, his debut track 10K. And that followed on from a 19:08. And I was there that day, 19:08, at the Bendigo 5K. I know the conditions out there were so tough. Yeah, but he just gritted his teeth and got going. And I know he really enjoyed it out there and had a great run. And then also Gemma had Laura Salamido, who ran a 16:35 at the Soul Motive race around the town, and she came fourth female during that race. And then a week after that was her debut 10K on the track at the Zatopek B race, running 44:22 with nearly a 3 minute or over 3 minute PB. So that was a huge run from Laura. And I know the conditions on that Zatopek B race weren't ideal either. So yeah, both Gary and Laura getting out there on the Zatopek B race on the 10K on the track. And it's a tough one, mate, that 10K on the track.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was great to see some athletes jumping on and having a crack at the 10K on the track. So yeah.
And then she had also Ellie Stubbs, third in the 8K Kilcunda Trail race too. So yeah, congratulations, Ellie, on that great run.
Good one, Matty. And just quickly, your crew, you know, you've got quite a few athletes that are in training at the moment and had a few races. Any quick highlights from you?
Yeah, I had Sarah also hit the track at the Zatopek B race, and she ran 40:17. That was her first ever track race. And I know we were sort of umming and ahhing about doing it and seeing if she could get a lap score and also get someone to mind her kids. So yeah, she wasn't too sure if she was. It was only a few days before that she actually sort of said, yeah, I can actually organize it. So yeah, she ran 40:17, and that was a huge run, and she said she felt really good on the night and finished strong. And yeah, I think she was definitely looking to now hit sub 40. But I know hopefully she'll be doing the Sri Chimnoy half marathon in a couple of weeks, hopefully. I'm saying hopefully because we're not sure what's going to happen with this potential continue of a lockdown or not. Also on the weekend at the New Farm Park run, had Katie Dallin and Tom James have cracking runs there. Tom ran a PB for the season, and yeah, Katie broke 20 for the first time on that particular park run course. And then also, yeah, had Dan Garner a week before at the Wimmera River Park run that
remember Soss had on the pitches through?
What's that, sorry?
Soss was on the camera as well, or he got some photos for us.
He's the race director out there. Yeah. Yep. And so, yeah, he was out there cheering Dan on, and Dan had a great run out there and paced it perfectly. And yeah, again, saying hopefully he's heading towards the run to the bridge 10K coming up.
Yes.
Yeah. And what about you, mate? You had quite a few.
Yeah, like obviously we can't talk about everyone, but just a couple of quick ones that, you know, everyone's been training really well, and there's been, again, waiting for more races to open up. A few have done a few time trials, and I know Anna McPhee, who's been on the podcast before, a few people may know her from her social handle, Eat Run Cook, who's actually, I don't know if you've seen Maddie, she's got her own business now that's I know she's an amazing cook now. You can actually buy some of the slices and I have a look on their Insta and I'm already quite hungry when I see it always pop up. So she's flying at the moment. She's preparing for the half marathon at the Sandy Point at the end of the month. And yeah, we put a 5K time trial on the training program, and she managed a PB, ran 22:25. So yeah, excited to see what's going to happen this year with her. She's got some big plans and races ahead. So it's a great run from Anna. And Glenn Abercrombie. So Glenno, he's actually from New South Wales, but he's recently moved to WA. He had to go through the quarantine process, which wasn't fun, but he's just been so consistent coming out of that. And in January, I thought I'd just mention he just came out and ran a PB in the park run in 21:13. And it was a big PB, you know, 17-second 5KB. But just the last few months, he obviously gone through a life change, moving and going through quarantine and all the rest. So it was a great effort from him. And we're actually, just going strength to strength. And he's, we've got Chris O'Neill, our Run to PB coach, who's based in WA. And, we're actually setting up a bit of a time trial. Those two are going to go to the track and have a crack at that sub 21. So, exciting on that front. another quick one from Stewie. Stu McClay, Run to PB regular, host of the segment that we have on here, the races and people that made Australian distance running. Yeah, he cranked out his best on the road, ran 19:50 just on Saturday. And yeah, so I was excited to see Stu with that come out with that run. And Travis Moore, he's end of Jan, managed to run 23:09, which is a big 5K for him. He's gone through a couple of niggles of late and really been diligent with his rehab and build up. And yeah, that was his fastest 5K, and he said about 10 years. So pretty stoked with that one from Travis. But yeah, Matty, as always, lots going on around the tracks, and just overall, it's great to see what the community is doing out there. You know, just training, running, and putting themselves in time trials or races when they can.
It is, man. Hopefully, yeah, we get to see a lot more of that coming up over this year.
Okay, welcome back to the Better With Running podcast. We've got Miles Goff, founder of RunCreature.com. Miles on the marathon journey, and he's based out in Wollongong, New South Wales. For those who didn't hear from him in the earlier seasons, Miles jumped on and shared some of his stories and where he's come from, and also what's happening with Run Creature. And just to give you some context, some of his PBs, 3K's run 8:32, 5K recent PB, which we're going to hear about from the New South Wales Championships, 14:46 over the five. He's got a 10K in 31. Looking at the marathon, his current PB 2:26, but he's, as you can tell from his PBs over the track, he's on the hunt for to lower that 2:26 PB. Welcome back to the show, Miles.
Hey guys, thanks so much for having me on again.
That's awesome.
Great to have you, mate.
Great to have you. Yeah. So where's things at, mate, at the moment?
Yeah, look, things are going pretty well, obviously. In terms of racing, had that 5K state championship last Saturday. Probably what, eight or 9 days removed from it now, but still riding a bit of a high from that race. It was a great night out. Obviously, Athletics New South Wales has done a phenomenal job putting on their track and field season. So just getting out to race has been pretty awesome, having those opportunities. But came away with a big PB, snuck under 15 minutes for the first time officially. So was in a good little train of athletes. We were in the A race, but it was really two races. There were some phenomenal guys up the front of that race, and we were kind of in the back pack. But still working pretty hard. And it was a great result.
Yeah, so you came away with a 14:46. Yeah, and you said that you had a bit of a pack to work with. Was the plan there to, or like prior to the race, you've chatted about a bit of a plan for you guys to have a crack at the 15 and sort of set about, you know, running sort of 70-72 sort of second laps, or what was the plan?
Yeah, so I had a chat with my coach, Barry Keem, beforehand. Like, I'd run sub 15 in a time trial back in July. I think I ran 14:50. And so I sort of knew it was sort of in range. And kind of after running a couple of quick 3Ks in the past couple of months, I just sort of went, I wanted to go into that race thinking, look, I'm going to target sort of going through 3K at about 8:45 and just see how I can hold on for the last two. So that was kind of the game plan. And I was going to do that regardless. I had talked to a couple of other athletes beforehand. I know I have a couple of friends who sort of run with Run Crew up in Sydney, James Tunbridge and Jack Green. And there are a couple of guys from Delta who I know pretty well. And so I had a chat with some of them James Tunbridge and Jack Green from Run Crew, they were both sort of keen to sort of go in that range as well. So yeah, ended up working with them a little bit in the race, and it was pretty good. We sort of all pushed each other to PBs and got under 15 minutes. So yeah, it was nice to kind of have a few athletes that we were sort of, we know each other and have run together before, and to just pull it off on the night. Like, it was a great night for racing. The conditions were ideal. So very happy with how it all played out.
And you're deep in a marathon block as well. So, you know, to kind of, running 140K type weeks, it just shows you what strength can do when you come into a track and still have the wheels. And yeah, that must have been exciting as well to know that you've now got that speed as well component as part of a bit of a weapon in there as well. And I know, like, yeah, sometimes you feel when you're doing the longer, you can do it sort of 35K long runs, and then to jump on and try and go fast for 5K, it's yeah, that must have been pretty exciting to know what shape you're in, even on at the 5K level.
Absolutely, Zach. It's a pretty big confidence boost. I mean, just knowing that speed is kind of there, and it's been improving as well. Because look, I've said this to a few people, and I've written it on Run Creature. I mean, if you'd have told me maybe 18 months ago that I'd be going under 15 minutes for 5K, I probably would have just laughed at you, because I didn't think it was really that achievable. Like, I didn't think that was in my wheelhouse at all. And I remember it wasn't much longer, maybe just under 2 years ago, that I sort of went under 16 minutes at a park run for the first time, and I was ecstatic with that result, right? And so it does show you that the consistency is super important. And even, you know, in the middle of them, like, you're doing the heavy mileage, but it's still, you know, if you're getting your track sessions in and you're doing some of that speed work, you're still going to get faster. So that's been really, really reassuring to know that the improvement's coming in the speed as well as in the sort of strength domain. And yeah, I think it still, you know, bodes pretty well. It gives me some confidence going into the marathon, knowing that the speed's actually improved.
Yeah. So is there any sort of indicators in your training? I know you said the 3Ks, a couple of 3Ks there that you'd done well in. But was there any sessions that you feel like you nailed and you thought, yeah, actually I'm in good shape here to have a crack over 15, have a crack at the sub 15?
Yeah, well, there's definitely a 3K. So I probably raced, I think I've raced three 3K races sort of since December. Like, there was the state 3Ks in New South Wales, that's when I ran my PB. So it was a great night of racing. I think I went 8:32. But then I went down to Canberra and I ran one on a really hot evening and ran 8:40. And then there was another one in Wollongong recently where I was just out the front, ran sort of 8:37 by myself, basically. And so that was like that one. That last one, which was only maybe 2 and a bit weeks before the 5K, that was a good confidence booster. It's like, you know, if you can sort of go out there and just pound that out on your own, more or less, you're in pretty good shape. You should be able to sort of have a crack at the sub 15. My coach actually forgot that the 5K champs were up. So on track Tuesday, I sort of rolled to the track with a few friends and they were all doing their Deeks quarters. And I was like, I should be doing a Deeks quarters workout today, but I've got a mono fartlek on the cards. And so it's, you know, which is still a good 5K indicator work.
Yeah.
So yeah, a few of my mates were getting around doing their Deeks quarters and I was, you know, on the other side of the track wondering why I wasn't doing the same one, but yeah, smashed out a pretty good mono fartlek on the track. I think I ran about 6.4K for that. So yeah, it was like good indicator. I mean, and you know, it turned out that I was in that kind of shape. So yeah, happy with how it all played out.
Yeah, when you look at your Strava and you can see the picket fence or the skyscrapers, it's just super consistent from, you know, when we last caught up, really. And you just continue to nicely build, sitting at that 130, 140K weeks. And how are you feeling fitting life in around that as well? Because I know it's when you're in that marathon block, it can be pretty tiring because, yeah, if you're doubling, it's like you go, you know, you finish a run, you go to bed, you get up and you're running again, and then work, life, you've got a young one there as well. How are you managing the balance in a marathon block?
Oh, it's a good question. Yeah, it's challenging. I mean, I owe my partner a ton of credit because she's phenomenal. She's being a fantastic mom. Yeah, we've got a 7-month-old daughter, Millie, who keeps us on our toes. And I mean, if that wasn't hard enough, yeah, trying to squeeze in all the runs and starting to run some doubles now as well. So it's not just going to bed and waking up and running again. Sometimes it's sort of, you know, you get through the day and you got to run again in the evening. So it is a challenge. I'm doing a bit of, you know, obviously doing the work with Run Creature. So trying to juggle that and starting to get back into doing some casual teaching now as well, picking up some shifts. So, you know, it's tough. It is tough. And you just have to give a lot of credit to the people who around you and support you in that journey. And you know, you can't be perfect all the time. Like sometimes you have to sacrifice if it's a run here or there, or it's some other aspect of the training, you know, talk a lot about the 1% doing all the little things, the stretching, going to the gym. It's usually that goes by the wayside and you don't get to sort of to hit on those aspects of your training. But yeah, I mean, I owe a lot of credit to the people in my life who allowed me to sort of, yeah, train and devote that time to training. And because I would just lie and say that I'm really organized and have excellent time management skills, but I don't think that's the case.
It looks like you got a solid crew on your Sundays as well. You're pumping out 35Ks and some good training partners. I guess you got a few other people in the same boat that are training towards your Canberra.
Yeah, we're going to have a good crew of people coming down to Canberra. I mean, I think there'll be three, maybe four of us who are doing the marathon, but then there's going to be three or four who come and do the half as well. And that's been, that's been huge as well, just for training and accountability, knowing that we have a bit of a group now. I mean, we don't have that critical mass, you know, that you're going to get in a big city like Sydney with the run crews of the worlds or some of those other big city track clubs that you see. But we've actually got a few really quality athletes and some who are sort of, you know, more or less capable of sort of running at the same level. And that's been huge. And yeah, those Sunday groups, they're starting to really take off. I mean, some days we get 12, 13 guys going, and sometimes people are dropping off, you know, after 20K, but we've got a few who are sort of hitting that 30K mark pretty consistently. And that just makes getting those long runs in a lot easier.
And then what's the plans from here through to Canberra? So we're about 8 or 9 weeks out. So what sort of ideas have you got? What sort of is in store for the training from here? Like, you're obviously within the marathon block at the moment, what sort of long runs are we pushing out to, do you know? And what sort of sessions might be included there?
So I've got a big session coming up, I guess, next Sunday, Saturday or Sunday, whenever I do that long run. On the program it says Saturday. We'll just have to sort of see when it actually happens. But that's going to have, it's 35K, and it's got a, you know, 15K sort of just intro into the run. So we just sort of run at those 4:15s, 4:20s, but then it's going to be 2x6K at marathon pace, sort of right in the middle of the workout off 2K float. So that's a pretty big one, very marathon specific, that's coming up. It's a toughie. The program actually
over. I was going to say, will you take fluids on in that one? Will you practice the drinks, or it'll just be fasted?
Yeah, I'm not sure what I'll do, because I might actually be in Canberra, so it might be a bit tricky. I'm not sure where I'll be running it. We might be going down to Canberra this weekend, but I'll take gels with me, and I'll take some gels. I'm not sure how well I'll be able to set up fluids if I want to take a drink bottle, but maybe I'll look at doing that. It's starting to get into that sort of realm where that's becoming a factor as well, trying to practice taking the gels and the fluids on like you would in a race. So if not this week, I'll be starting to do that sort of in some of those other longer runs and sessions that I have coming up. But yeah, so that's a big one. Looking at the program over the next few weeks, actually, it's pretty tough. Like, there's a few tough sessions. Like this Tuesday, I've got 10x1K, which I'll probably just do on track. And, you know, that's always a big one. It's a bit daunting. More of the same of that. And ideally, I mean, I'd love to get into a road race between now and the marathon, whether that's a half or a 10K. We'll sort of see. I wanted to go and run the Orange Half Marathon again. It was the last race I ran in 2020 before everything just shut down. Had a great time, had a great weekend, won the half up there and really enjoyed it. So really wanted to go back, but they've actually sort of downscaled their event this year. They're only running sort of 6K races, so not an option. So I have to sort of brainstorm what other options are out there in the next couple of weeks, 3 weeks or so.
Potentially with your training partner set up something, 15K or 20K road race, you know, time trial where you could, I guess that four to six week out is a good window to hit one of those hard road races to get a sense of where you're at as well, and really help.
Yeah, I think that's it. And it's a fine line, isn't it? Right. You don't want to run anything too close to the marathon, but yeah, 4-6 weeks out, if you can sort of find something in that window, it would be absolutely perfect. I mean, I did that last year with Melbourne, or sorry, 2 years ago with Melbourne, ran the Blackmoors in Sydney, which I think was about 5 weeks out. It worked perfectly. I don't know if you need a tune-up race, but I think just psychologically, I think it's handy to sort of be in that race environment again, like having not done a road race for so long. I think it'd be just nice to sort of have that feeling of what that's like again. So we'll see.
Especially when you have, when you're coming in off such a big, big lead up. I mean, you've had a couple of track races. It's good to get on the road and yeah, even just to have that week where you may be absorbing a bit of it and then having a real hit out, rather than just, you know, building to one big race. I think it's a good idea to break it up with that one in there.
And it's such a different feel too, racing on the track to the road, right? I mean, and that's something I've learned. I mean, I didn't do much track racing before. I guess my background is more in road racing, getting out to those big mass participation events. But yeah, it's almost like a different sport and different environment and atmosphere. So yeah, it'd be nice to kind of line up for a road race. So there are a couple of halves. There's one up in Port Macquarie, which is early March. I mean, if it might be hard with the bub driving up there and it's a long drive, but there's also another one down in Canberra, the Western Creek Half Marathon, which I think is March 14th. So that'd be about 4 weeks out. We're down to Canberra a fair bit, so might try and hop into that one and have a little hit out.
That's awesome. And have you been keeping up with some of the results over the past week or so, over some of the amazing amazing results coming through from the Australian distance runners? Have you been checking out some of the YouTube clips or watching some of the races?
Unreal, man. My phone was just pinging constantly. Got all the boys on a group chat and it was just like bing, 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 all these results coming through right after the Sunday long run. And it was just, you're just sitting there like, oh my goodness, like the depth of talent in Australia at the moment is unbelievable. Like it really is. There are some phenomenal athletes and managed to see a couple of like the clips of some of those races. So yeah, Ollie Hoare's 1500 that was a spectacle, man. To see him kick down like that at the end was pretty special. There's so much talent in the 1500. It's like spoiled for choice if you're a selector for the Olympics. But I mean, it'd be great to see all those guys line up in a race.
Yeah, I know Brady from actually tweeted. I think he sent a tweet out last night about there's some of the names that could be in a trial race of a 1500. And yet, you know, Stuart McSwain, Gregson, Ollie Hoare, Risley, Ramsden, Matthews, Charlie Hunter, Jordy Williams. You know, you got Morgan McDonald. Like, you know, it's just insane amount of depth. You know, all on that sub 337 range that are going to be chasing those three spots. So huge. Huge.
Even some of the guys in Canberra who train with Dick Telford's squad, like Jai Edwards, he just ran his first sub 4 mile at the Albie Thomas. Like he's a guy who's poised to be going in the 330s for 1500 as well. Rory Hunter is a 336 guy. I mean, there's so much depth. It's just insane. And then Charlie Hunter as well, the young bloke who's running for Oregon. I mean, his mile time from a couple of weeks ago, but he just went and ran a 145 800, which is just like, that is flying.
That's insane, isn't it? That the depth that's coming through. And I was wondering how, with nationals, how it could be that we could get them all together for a race, for an Olympic trials race, but that's unlikely.
Yeah, I wonder how it's going to happen.
Because I was thinking, do we send? Because I'm pretty sure America don't have a quarantine, do they? When you land, you're just pretty much free to step out of the airport and do whatever you want. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's changed since they've got a new president. Maybe there's been rewriting of the rule book there. But I know, you know, I interviewed Dion Finocchiaro when he went over and did that Hoka One challenge and. Yeah, he didn't have to quarantine. I think he sort of opted to stay in the you know, bubble environment that Hoka had created. But he was over there in January and he could have just walked off the plane and been out in the community. So
because I was thinking, we could send anyone who's sub 340 across to America and then just, I don't know, set it up at Stanford or something and have them all run off against each other.
What do you guys think about running on those indoor tracks? Like I've watched the races, but they look fun to watch just because it looks like it's, you know, I don't know why they just seem fast. And maybe it's because it's so tight that,
I just watched Ollie O'Hare's race and it was constantly like you're going around a bend. It's just like, it just looks like you're running around a donut. Like it's just, I'm sure it suits probably suits some athletes better than others. Like, I wonder about how the damage it does on your body as well with a with quite a few more turns in there. Not sure.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting as well, like over the 5K coming up. I know there's a bit of talk about in Box Hill, this the Box Hill burn, that they're going to head for a time, set it up for an Olympic qualifier there and potentially faster. Even rumours about Stewie going after Craig Mottram's record. So that would be exciting when you've got the form that is around the MTC, you know, group. Yeah. To all have that focus, if they go with that singular focus to let's get Stewie to that record, and that would be amazing to see. You saw what he did, you know, at the down in that Penguin track meet in Tassie before Christmas or around Christmas time. He's just capable of doing something special. So yeah, I'm excited to see what happens in the 5K as well.
It's really interesting. Like, you know, fingers crossed, the Olympics go ahead and we get to see an Olympics and some of it, because you know Stewie's just like in his prime. Like, it would be so amazing to see him compete at the Olympics, and so, you know, sort of heartbreaking if it just didn't happen this year and they had to, you know, just put off another year. But hopefully he gets an opportunity. But yeah, I mean, if I think, you know, the aspiration to be able to hold quick races on Australian soil, we should definitely be trying to do that at every level, and it's really awesome to see that some of these race organizers are taking that opportunity and saying, yeah, let's do it. And there's so much talent down in Melbourne. Yeah, why not? If you can get a few of those boys pacing them through, whether it's Brett or Jack or whomever, it'd be cool to see them have a crack.
And did you catch the Zatopek? Did you see the amazing run from Rose Davies and Izzy Bat Doyle? Like, that was maybe a little bit of a surprise given on paper what we were expecting the results may have gone. And that was, I loved watching that meet. And your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I definitely watched it, enjoyed it. it was such an incredible race. I was actually, you know, got the Canadian route. So I was sort of watching Andrew. Who's proud Canadian who lives and trains in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And actually pegged her, thought she might be able to win it, but Rose and Izzy just phenomenal down the home stretch, and what a race to finish. And you could sort of tell watching it, like I was watching and you could just see Rose looked like ready. She kind of just like at every move she was ready to cover it, and she almost looked a bit like just jittery, like she wanted to go, right? She wanted to go and just like overtake everyone, and perfectly executed. Amazing move right at the end, like how she ran past Izzy on the inside to and sprinted home. Like, that kick over her last like 200 meters was just wild.
Yeah, I was standing at just around about that 200 meter mark, and when she took off, she just looked like she was just doing a 200 meter rep, like not like she'd ran 9.8 k's before. It was that impressive.
It would have been amazing to see live, but it came across on the live stream too. Like, it was just like, boy, the wheels just it was unreal. Super impressive run. I mean, she's obviously a phenomenal athlete. Excited to, like, I mean, it's just a shame there aren't many opportunities to race a fast 10K to go after that Olympic standard. So she put on a show. It was really, really great to see both those girls have huge performances.
Yeah, it really does beg the question is where do they go for this qualifier if they're so close to put their name in the hat? Do you take the gamble and go over the US and see if you can get in a race? Tough, unless another one. I don't see another one of that kind of depth being set up here in Australia before the qualifying period ends. So tough one, isn't it?
Stephen, going like over to America, you would suggest would be potentially they might have one on, but then you have to come back and quarantine for a couple of weeks, and the risks of then, like, obviously COVID's fairly rife across America. Like, I know Dion took that gamble of going over, and it is a fairly big risk of doing that, and then, you know, you're jumping on flights with other people and being in such a confined space. It's a tough call to make.
It really is, man. It is. And a lot of, like, Dion took that risk, and there's a lot of athletes who are over there in the NCAA competing, you know, at the collegiate level. And they've, gone back and you know, are over there now. And it's a bit of a calculated risk, I suppose, that you have to take, but it's, you know, it is a real risk. I think if you're going over to North America or any, I mean, we're so lucky in Australia, we forget sometimes just yeah. how bad the pandemic is in other parts of the world. And it's a very real risk, I guess, that you get infected. And look, if you're young and healthy, then maybe you're happy to take that risk. But you obviously, if you're going over there to target a race, you wouldn't want to get sick, you know, 3 days out yeah. from you know, a massive event. So it's tough, isn't it?
Mm.
Feel for them.
And you've been busy writing all the articles, obviously, about the 220, and yeah, how's the feedback and responses been? And yeah, have you got anything in store that you can share with us?
Yeah, so it's like I said, you guys hit the nail on the head when you asked how it is balancing everything, balancing on training and fatherhood and writing, and it's been hard. We kind of had a bit of a shutdown over January where we were just sort of taking things a little bit slower and taking things easy. But yeah, trying to keep up the journaling about the training, and that's been good. I've got a few people who are sort of following along, and the feedback's been positive, which is good. And I think people are interested in sort of what that training looks like. I mean, whether you're someone who wants to run a similar time or whether you're just someone who's running your first marathon, I mean, it's kind of interesting to just sort of check it out and see, okay, well, this is the level that someone's of dedication and running and commitment that it requires to sort of hit these targets. So yeah, that feedback's been good. And that's, you know, the end of the day, it's a bit of a training log for me, but I'm happy if people are taking something away from it. Had a couple of other articles that we wrote. I wrote one earlier in the, like, just at the beginning of January about a marathon trials race and how cool it would be to see one in Australia. And that actually got a little bit of conversation going online when I posted it, because I guess there is talk of not a trials race, but a fast marathon that might happen in Sydney in April. And yeah, I mean, I think that's amazing, because I think there's some really, really legit hopefuls who deserve to have a crack at the distance and running the standard. And so that was pretty cool to see the traction that got and the conversation that it started. And we can talk about that if you want, but in terms of what's,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Just on that, I love that article, and I thought you hit the nail on the head about some of the points you were sort of looking at, which was, you know, just growing and popularizing this sport and basically giving us, the local runners an opportunity, but also the outside fans to kind of get a glimpse of this trial setting. And yeah, similar to the US, obviously this one that they're sort of touting as a trial, you know, it's still very much, you know, nothing's public has actually come out about it. So it's been a bit of a last minute pull together. I don't know it's going to have that, but hopefully even if it does come off and it's in a sort of a smaller confined setting, they look at this as something they could put on every year or every couple of years in leading into world champs or in a comm game. So there is a real, and I guess with issues that we're going to face going forward, at least for the next few years, about, you know, access into marathons, maybe this is a turning point for us to actually host one and really put something behind it and incentivize these athletes to come and run fast and stay fast, stay in Australia and run fast. Yeah, I mean, the contenders are there. It's, people are lining up. They're ready to go. And I know you've seen Liam's posting coming off Falls Creek. He did some phenomenal training, like 250K type weeks. And, you know, he just doesn't have a race to run, you know. And if we can get something off the ground. I mean, he's obviously in the slot for the Olympics. But, yeah, I'll be excited to see if we can get, say, an Ed Goddard, Tom Decano, Andy Buchanan, Harris, all going after a race. Be cool to see.
Yeah, like those guys on the men's side, for sure. Ben St. Lawrence, if he can sort of, you know, if he can string the train together too, he's a 2:14 guy. We know that he's world class. Like, and the four that you mentioned, look, it would be amazing. And on the women's side, I mean, you know, I know Adam Didick is one of the guys at Athletics Australia who's sort of, you know, behind trying to organize a race if indeed it goes ahead. But he coaches Jess Trengove, Jess Stenson. You know, who's a former Olympian, and, you know, she had plans last year to go to Hamburg, and they fell through, obviously, as anyone who wanted to go overseas to run a marathon, you know, similar thing. She'd love to have a crack, and, you know, she's been coming back, you know, she's a new, relatively new mum, but she's been on her journey back to getting into marathon shape. And, you know, she would love to have a crack at running the standard. Millie Clark, who's run the standard, but is sort of the, on the outside of that top three looking in. I mean, imagine she'd want to have another crack if she's healthy and able to run. So it really could be a phenomenal race if it happens. And it, you know, if you open it up, like in the US, I mean, you have your marathon standard, but then you have your trial standard, right? So you sort of relax it a little bit just to make sure the field size is big and you get a bit of a critical mass. Like in the US trials, they had something like 600, 700 competitors racing. Like, it was really huge, especially like on the women's side. I think they had something like close to 500 women qualified just for the trials race. So, it practically was a mass participation marathon. It's a huge event, right? Like it's nationally broadcast and it's a day where the eyes of the nation that might be overblowing it, but you get a lot of eyes on the sport and you can really popularize it, and I think it would just be cool. I mean, I know some of these marathoners, they have to go overseas at the top end to make some money. It's written into their contracts. It's just a phenomenal opportunity for them. But if you're running a trials race one in 4 years, I mean, well, then they only have to save one of their best performances, one in eight of their best performances to have a crack in Australia. So, and I think that would just be cool. I mean, how cool would it be to see these guys lining up at Melbourne Marathon or Gold Coast? And that's the other thing. I mean, this year is a bit of an anomaly. So they have to have a workaround. They have to sort of design a loop course and sort of not operate within the confines of the existing like marathons that we have. But, in future, it would obviously make sense for them to piggyback off a, off a Melbourne or a Gold Coast. Sure. Existing race. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess to watch this space, I think we'll just have to see. I mean, I'm pretty confident this trial's still going to go ahead, but it's going to be a very limited field. I think there's enough people in there that believe they want to have a genuine shot at it. So, it'll still be very exciting to see how that goes just with a smaller field. But, yeah, going forward, it'd be great if they could look at doing this and really opening it up and looking at a couple hundred people in a field.
Yeah, and one of the things I put out there, I mean, it doesn't have, in the US, the trials race is all or nothing, right? It's this kind of cutthroat event where it's the top three get in, and if you're on the outside looking in, you're stuffed basically, and that can be problematic, right? Because we saw Sarah Hall go to London and just like run an absolute blinder. She was amazing in London, and the US track and field people were probably like, you know what, that kind of sucks that she's not going to be on our Olympic marathon team just because she kind of didn't have a good day for trials. But I look at what Canada did, where they kind of ran a trials, but it wasn't all or nothing. There was only one guaranteed spot available. So, if you're the top finisher and you run the standard, your spot's guaranteed. But if there's someone else in that race who blew up or just didn't have a good day for whatever reason, they can still have other opportunities to go run the standard. So there are different sort of models for running a trials race. And I think, that would probably bode well looking at something a little bit more like the Canadian model here, where you wouldn't ruffle as many feathers and you could have a really exciting race that generated interest.
Yeah. So, because it's pretty hard. Like, I mean, it can be a challenge to get it right on the day, and especially for a marathon. It's not like a 1500, you might, blow up one week, but the next week you absolutely blast it. Whereas obviously a marathon, you're not going to be able to back it up quite so soon. And suddenly you're going to have to, have a recovery period and then build back up again, and potentially not for a few more months minimum before you can actually have another crack. So, yeah, I think, I hope they do have some sort of a trials race and potentially the top finish with the time, can actually get it, guarantee them a spot, because I think that would bring a lot more Aussies racing together over a marathon that we haven't really seen for quite some time.
And like with the race that they're, that this top secret race that's kind of in the works and planned, I don't really understand the resistance to it, because I mean, look, if there were races going ahead overseas, all of these athletes who want to have a shot, they'd have been running overseas, they'd have had their opportunities to go to 11:30 or faster, or 2:26 if you're a woman trying to make that Olympic team. So it's just an opportunity. I think at the end of the day, it's just giving them a shot to to at least have that opportunity to run the standard. You know, they still need to do it, and that's not easy. That's a tough standard to hit. But yeah, letting them line up and have a shot is, I just think that's the right thing.
And have you got any insights into an article or such that you might have ready to go?
Yes, nearly ready. We've been a bit delayed, but got a feature coming out very shortly on Australia's fastest at the moment 400 meter female athlete, Benderi Oboya, and she's a super talent in the 400 meter. Interesting for me because, you know, obviously, and like you guys, I mean, we focus on the longer distances, but sometimes it's very cool to sort of home in on some of these faster runners who are doing some pretty incredible things in the sport. So yeah, I had a fantastic chat with Benderi and with her new coach, a guy named John Quinn. And so we'll be publishing a pretty in-depth feature on Benderi and her goals moving forward. Yeah, hopefully in the next week or so, that'll be live on Run Creature.
Looking forward to that one. That should be a good article.
Yeah. She's 20 years old. Like she's so young and is already, you know, running world-class times. Like she was at the world champ. She ran her PB in the opening heat at the world champs in Doha. And yeah, she's working with a new coach now who I think it's been a good change for her, and she's just continuing to improve. So, and she's the only 400 meter athlete right now who has the Olympic standard. So in Australia, sorry. So if Tokyo goes ahead, she's kind of a no-brainer to be there, which is exciting.
Yeah, that sounds great, man. I'm looking forward to reading that one. All right, Miles. Yeah, it's been great to catch up, mate. And obviously, you'll keep the readers posted with your own journey for the sub 220 and your marathon training. I know people can follow you on Strava. You're putting up all your training on there as well. So yeah, it's great to hear from you, Miles.
Yeah, thanks guys so much for having me again. It's awesome chatting with you. It's awesome catching up. And really quickly before I go, I run with a couple of run to PB athletes here in Wollongong. Good mate of mine, Sam Jones. He ran his PB at.
We just talked about him.
He just ran a PB and he won his heat at the state 5Ks. I think he ran 15:43 or close to that, which is phenomenal. He's been making huge strides with your help collectively, and also Dane Ottenson up in Picton, who didn't race at the champs, but came down here on the morning of and just like blasted a 5K time trial by himself on the track.
It was so
impressive. I wasn't there, but I got the full report from my good mate Greg, who sort of was yelling out splits to him, and yeah, he just bulldozed his way to like 15:24 like on his own. Incredible.
So cool.
You guys are doing phenomenal things. It's really awesome to catch up, and look forward to chatting again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thanks very much for jumping on, and good luck over the next month or so. We chat again to head towards that target sub 220.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks, guys.
All right, cheers, Miles.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Better With Running podcast. I hope you enjoyed our chat with Miles from Run Creature. Doing some great things over on that website, so you can definitely jump on there for some articles and some inspiration, as well as his training blog as he attempts that sub 220 marathon in the lead up to Canberra Marathon. Matty and I, we're just pumped to be back on the airwaves and sharing our running journey, bringing out more interviews. We've got a few more in the pipeline with both new coaches that have joined Run to PB recently, as well as some Run to PB athletes, and some additional guests that we've got lined up. So pretty excited to bring you those as they come out. If you've got any questions, definitely hit us up on the socials. So at Run to PB on Instagram and Facebook. What else we got? We got Sammy the Shoe Dog McLean. He's going to be coming back from the Yarraville Running Company and jumping on and doing a couple of shoe reviews in the coming weeks. And so any shoe questions, definitely send them on to us at Run to PB. But that's enough from me, and thanks again for listening, and enjoy the rest of your run.